Well, the College of Music at Michigan State University is thrilled to announce that a project created fully by artists from MSU has been nominated for 2 Latin Grammy Awards. King Mangleberry is a suite of music for wind symphony written by MSU professor of composition Ricardo Lorenz that has now been recognized internationally, and the connections to MSU and the surrounding community are strong. In addition to Ricardo, this recording is performed by students in the MSU Wind Symphony, conducted by MSU Professor of Music Kevin Sedetall, produced by MSU Assistant Professor of Music David Thornton, arranged by MSU Music alumnus Travis Higa, and recorded locally by MSU Music alumnus Sergey Kavitko. In addition, the artwork for the CD package was created by 7th and 8th grade students at Chippewa Middle School in Okemos, Michigan. It's truly a homegrown project made entirely in Michigan, and it's now in the epicenter of Latin music after being nominated for Best Classical Album and Best Classical Contemporary Composition for the track Parauco. The latter features renowned maracas player Manuel Alejandro Rangel, and it's the first time in Latin Grammy history that Venezuelan maracas are in a classical music category nomination. It's rare to receive nominations of this kind for a recording created by an academic institution, so it's a pleasure to welcome Ricardo and Kevin to MSU today to talk about it a bit. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, Russell.
Thank you.
Ricardo, why don't we start with you? Tell us about the pieces and what inspired them.
Well, let's first start by saying that the reason why there is even a CD that was able to be nominated by the Latin Recording Academy is completely due to my colleague and friend, Kevin Sedetall. He has been creating a series of CD, I would call them monograph CDs, or albums where he features a single composer. And I was extremely lucky to have Kevin decide to do one devoted to my music. That's why we have a CD first and foremost. This is the brainchild of Kevin. So there, the CD is it shows a good chunk of my creative output. All of it it influenced and impacted by my friendship and collaboration with Kevin. I've been at MSU for 15 years, and so has Kevin. So we pretty much came to MSU at the same time. Am I right, Kevin?
Yeah.
So that's I think really important to point out that if it wasn't for this collaboration, there wouldn't be a CD. Now, one of the pieces in the CD, there are 3 of them. It's a piece that I wrote actually 20 years ago, but it has slowly evolved into a new version of this piece. And this is Parauco, the maracas concerto. Originally, it was a piece for a symphony orchestra. And after being performed by many orchestras around the country and the world, finally, one of the doctoral students of our conducting program, a wind conducting program, as part of this amazing project that Kevin has that encourages his students to do transcriptions of pieces that are not originally for wind symphony, decided to take on Parauco. And I had the most wonderful experience sort of mentoring him through the process. And in the end, what came out is a version of the piece that I almost like better in many ways than the original. So now it has new life, and it's also in the CD. And we were very lucky to be able to bring from Venezuela, directly from Venezuela, wonderful percussionist, maraca player Manuel Rangel, to be featured in the album. So that's the one piece that I composed before my years at MSU. But the other two, including King Mangleberry, 5 allegories for wind symphony, were composed while at MSU, and due to, again, my friendship collaboration with not only Kevin, but another wonderful colleague who is no longer with us, but he's now the director of bands at South Carolina, University of South Carolina, University of South Carolina in Columbia, Cormac Cannon, and he's responsible for commissioning and the creation of King Mangoberry that gives the name to the name to the title of the city.
This has been something that we've wanted to do for a long time. Early on in my time at Michigan State, I asked Ricardo to write a piece. Well, it was a collaboration with the American Bandmasters Association called El Muro, which we premiered at the National College Band Directors Association Convention in 2000. What was it, Ricardo? Nine?
Eight or nine, yes. I think it was eight. Yeah.
And which is a terrific piece and got won great acclaim and has been performed quite a bit across the country. And I was just, as most things work in our world, by coincidence, I just happened to be at the University of South Carolina for the premiere of King Mangoberry at South Carolina. I was in the audience. I heard the very first performance of it. And I immediately called Ricardo after that and said, we're going to record this, because the music was so compelling and so fresh and colorful and unique. Didn't sound like, well, I don't even know what regular band music sounds like anymore, but definitely a very, very unique voice. So I told him, like, well, we are definitely going to record this. And then at the same time we were talking about this, I knew that my student Travis Higa was looking for a project, and we started talking to Ricardo about this Maracas concerto, and he had this crazy idea that it might become a really great wind piece. So we all started working on this together. We recorded King Mangoberry first in the fall of the year while Travis and Ricardo were working on the transcription. And then we recorded Patoruco in March of the following spring and brought Manuel in to solo with us. So it was just, it's kind of a very natural thing. I always wanted to make a CD of Ricardo's music. We just had to get more music to do a full CD for Winds. So that was kind of the dream behind all of this. And now it's like, it's turned into something far bigger than maybe either one of us thought it was going to be, but man, it's just been fantastic.
The College of Music, though, is known for that excellence, and it, as well as a lot of MSU, has that collaborative culture you're talking about. Isn't that right?
Oh yes, for sure. I can attest to that. And definitely, the collaboration between the composition department and the performance, the different performance areas, is very tight, particularly with the wind program. And that stems from the fact that I always say, and I learned this as soon as I got to MSU, because I came from other schools that were not so focused on wind symphony music. But I've been saying it since I got to MSU that the wind conductors and the wind symphony is the greatest friend of the composer these days. It is the vehicle by which a composer now proves her himself, and they're so welcoming and so supportive of the composers, and that's something that we didn't have for the longest time. So this is, I guess, another example of that. Yeah.
So what does it mean and feel like to be nominated for Grammys? That doesn't happen every day either, right?
I was telling Kevin, the beautiful message about this is that, I mean, think about it. We're nominated by the Latin Recording Academy and for a project that is mainly made in Michigan. And I don't know if you've seen lately, but the Latino presence in Michigan is not too, like, where is it, right? And suddenly we're thrown into this fantastic spotlight. They have recognized what we're doing. And I was telling Kevin, I am so proud and so happy for the performers, these phenomenally talented students, who they would never see themselves in that realm of being spotlighted by anything that having to do with the Latino culture. And here they are. Some of them maybe this was the only connection they have to anything that's Latino, and now they are considered for an award by the most prestigious association that recognizes Latino culture.
Well, that's really cool. I hadn't thought about it that way, but and let me ask you both, we're sort of in the throes of the pandemic. How is that impacting you both as you try to continue your teaching? And I know the College of Music, some students are actually back because there's no other way to do it, but just talk a little bit about how you personally as professors and the college is evolving in these perilous times.
Of course, we have no undergraduate students on campus, really, except that the College of Music has gotten permission for our undergrads to come into the building so they can practice. And it's very regimented. There's a ton of protocol that they've got to go through to make sure that things are safe. But it's the provost has recognized that our students are unique in that way, that they just they've got to have the capability to practice in a space that allows them to do that. So we do have a certain number of graduate students that are coming into the building. And currently, there are about 30 that are performing, that are volunteering to perform because they just want a live experience. So we can put in our new rehearsal spaces, which are just fantastic to have, we can put about, in our largest room, we can put 15 seated players, 9 feet apart from each other, both side to side and front to back. They have to all be facing forward, not curved in at all. And then we can have 2 to 3 percussionists plus piano and harp, if that's what it calls for, or double bass. But they're having to perform in kind of very weird circumstances. Many of them have to wear a mask while they play, brass players. Hmm. All of them have some kind of covers on their bells to reduce the aerosol. As conductors, we're standing behind a big plexiglass shield. We conduct with masks on. It's just very, very strange, but the want to make live music makes us do crazy things, I guess. We're going to do what we have to do in order to perform. I will say that students have just been fantastic about following the right protocols. And if someone feels like that they have been exposed, there's an immediate call that goes out and that person will quarantine. Luckily, we haven't had to deal with that very much at all over the last 2 months. So it's been a challenge, but one that's been worth it. And the students are having to perform in different ways that it's uncomfortable for a while, but it is making them listen in a different way, communicate in a different way. And I do believe once we get through all of this and things come back to quote unquote normal, that we're going to have learned a bunch from going through this procedure. Mainly, we're going to learn how much we love to perform with each other. That's the biggest, that's been the biggest hurdle for them to get over, that the ones that are not getting to do this, like we just never knew how much we missed it until now. So we learn not to take things so much for granted when they're taken away from us. And hopefully we'll get back to whatever normal is going to be in sooner than later.
My admiration goes to conductors and musicians like Kevin that have made their living bringing people together and having them listen to each other in very close quarters, which is, as he was saying, is so necessary in order to make good quality music. And there he is, and other conductors, there they are trying their best at reimagining the space and what to do with it, and even reimagining acoustics. So I've been seeing some of these podcasts, and they're just wonderful. But I see the challenges. So I'm just very proud and very grateful that they will not stop, and as it should be. What one thing I would say that is has been of benefit to me personally, and I think this is something we can eventually incorporate when we, and I hope we do go back to making music in the way we have grown up to love it, is that, you know, space is no longer a deterrent. And I've been able to have these amazing workshops with students all over the country through Zoom, something that I would have not been able to because sometimes it's expensive or you can't travel there. But now that's not a limitation anymore. So I've gotten to be part of wonderful conversations with composers also that I would have never been in the same space with them if it wasn't for this new opening to technology. And my another example, my son, who's a 14-year-old cellist, is studying with a cellist in Georgia. He has never seen him in the same room. And he has been studying with him for three months already. And he's doing great progress all through Zoom, something that he would have never been able to do.
Well, that's really amazing. Things are changing, and not all for the worse. Some things are getting better, I guess. But, well, want to congratulate both of you and the entire college on the Grammys. When might we hear? Do you know when the awards are?
November 19th. I have it in my calendar.
Well, we wish you the best. And just some final thoughts. What would you like listeners to take away about the two nominated pieces and just sort of the collaborative ethos there that's so powerful?
Well, that music is all about relationships. It's all about making relationships and bridging differences. I mean, I can't think of a better example of that. We could have had a wonderful CD if we had not brought in an artist like Manuel Rangel, who brings in a complete different culture and a different scene to music that we don't have. Probably we wouldn't be talking to you right now about being nominated for a Latin Grammy. So it's the bridging that I'm always very interested in.
And the experiences for the students, that's why we do these projects. I mean, it's great to have kind of a record of pieces for a particular composer, but for the students, it's all about their experience they have with composers and soloists and what they learn from that. And particularly this music, like Ricardo was saying, is this, they wouldn't have had that experience dealing in this particular genre, if you will, and bringing a soloist from another country who, in all honesty, didn't speak great English, and just our communication and letting the music speak for itself. That was, that for me is probably the most important aspect of this whole journey, is that what the students get out of it and how they grow, you know, both musically and as people. It's great to have the CD and it's great to have all the awards, hopefully the awards, but more importantly, it's the experience for the students.
Well, you mentioned it earlier. It's just so special to have had also the participation of young, you know, 7 and 8 graders in the artistic part. We didn't mention to you, but we actually projected when we premiered the piece here at MSU of King Mangoberry, we projected the drawings, the artwork that the children did. And in the lobby of the Wharton Center, we had 80 drawings, all inspired by the characters of the piece of music. So that to me is very special.
Well, Ricardo and Kevin, congratulations again. Thank you for joining me again on MSU today.
Thank you, Russell. Great pleasure. And great also having a chance to talk to Kevin.
And that is Ricardo Lorenz and Kevin Sedetal from MSU's renowned College of Music. They're part of an all-MSU team nominated for 2 Latin Grammys for Best Classical Album and Best Classical Contemporary Composition. We'll learn about that on November 19th, and great talking with both of them. A lot more online at music.msu.edu. And I'm Russ White. This is MSU Today.